Yo, welcome, welcome, welcome. We got a new show today. Welcome to Rugby Swag. We got some stuff happening in rugby, y'all. Look, man, we're going to be talking about the scores that happened this week and talk a little bit of predictions. Yo, USA, South Africa. That was a game to be able to watch. Of course, collegiate D1A brackets are here, and you need to fill them out because games are just kicking off. And of course, we want to talk about a question that we didn't even realize could come up. What would happen if men's and women's rugby were ranked together, y'all? We're going to talk about that and more in this episode of Rugby Swag. But in this moment, yo, let's go hit these intros. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. You are now tuned in to the greatest. The greatest of all time. The greatest of all time.
Welcome to the Rugby Swag Show. Welcome to Rugby Swag. My name is Gift Time at Baylor. Of course, it's a show where we talk to people about the opportunities they found, created, or taken advantage of via rugby, while also simultaneously keeping you up to date with all the things that are going on within this rugby scope. Yo, we got a nice one for you today. Look, I'm excited for it. It is kind of a slow rugby news week, which is good because we've been hit constantly, but it's been a great rugby action week nonetheless, so we get to talk a little bit more about that. But before we do get that started, y'all, I need you, please, if you can, and for all those who have now come in and have liked and subscribed, thank you so much, and continue to tell your friends and family to please like and subscribe onto this program. Allow us to be able to continue to be able to spread the message and news and have the conversations, because I want you to be able to let me know what you think about what we talk about and have the great debate about what's going on, so we can continue to grow, develop, and just have some fun with this great game of ours that we love so bloody much. Now, of course, if you guys are not solely on YouTube, y'all can absolutely check us out on our social media at Rugby on Instagram at Rugby Swag Show. You can find me on X at Gift A Belu. That is GIFTEGBELU. And of course, all others under at Gift Time Rugby. That's Gift Time with two T's there. You can find us on Facebook, obviously right here on YouTube, youtube.com/GiftTimeRugby, on TikTok at Gift Time Rugby, and of course on Twitch that shows live but ain't really like holding the information, so you know, take that with a grain of salt as well with that one. But at Gift Time Rugby, and of course if you do really need to, you can find us on Instagram and X at Gift Time Rugby, but that's less interacted with than most things, so ain't no problems with that. And of course, like I say, I always want you to be able to share this with your friends and family. It is really, really crucial that you continue to help us grow by letting your friends know and letting your people know what's really important, and even those that are closest to you, to be able to understand and keep up with what's going on, because, yo, it can be a lot. It can be very, very compulsive, but we also want to make sure that it is accessible. And of course, if you're not here for watching it on YouTube, you can absolutely catch us on any audio streaming podcast platform. That is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, iHeart Media, man, any of them, and all of the above. I think now YouTube Music, since Google Podcast now has been pushed into YouTube Music. So you guys can catch us there, both video and audio wise. We do not leave anything out, y'all. Man, this one, like I said, is a really good week, but I do want to give you some heads up and give you some updated news. Next week, we're going to be off on the show. I am going to be traveling for food convention, so not going to be able to have as much access to the pod, but we'll be back again the week after and really gather in. That'll be HSBC Sevens, Hong Kong Sevens, that will be happening. We'll talk about that on the 17th, and whatever rugby news keeps popping up within there, that'll be college playoffs, both women and men. This one's going to be a little different since we can't really cover the women since they're doing it kind of individually, and I don't see a bracket, and college rugby is incredibly difficult to be able to cover in the U.S., but you know, we'll do that and see if we can go a little bit more in depth. And also, I want to thank everybody who has been adding into this. Like, Yo, been following and been adding in after the stories. Thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all, and I hope that you guys continue to be with us. In the meantime, yo, let's get this thing started. Of course, like I always say, we're going to take care of our sponsors, the people that support us first, and we're going to go talk about the scores and predictions that we have for this coming week. So we'll be right back. This is Gifted Baloo with Rugby Swag right after these.
I'm going to let you get back to the show in a moment, but I want to talk to you about our sponsors, Health Enhanced Foods, the best specialty flours in the business. What does that mean for you? That is the flours that allow you to be able to get the nutritious need from your bread made. That's muffins, bread, croissants, whatever, pancakes and muffins. It will give you the opportunity to be able to get the best while still being able to eat like you wanted to. We have various amounts of products available for those who have special dietary needs, to those who are looking for a special health outcome. And of course, because they're part of the Rugby Swag show, we want to let you know that you got a chance to go to healthenhancedfoods.com and use code Rugby Swag to be able to get 20% off your first order. Y'all, this is something that you're going to need. You got to build up, have your energy at the best, be the maximum. It's 2024. Let's do the best. But now I want you guys to get into it. Let's get back to the show.
All right, y'all. We got scores up first, y'all, because we got to go look back. A lot of rugby has happened and we didn't hit everything, but we're going to get as much as we can. So let me get that play prediction score music going on. All right, y'all. All right. Yo, look, first up, we're going to go talk a little bit of Women's Six Nations. Second round happened this past weekend. Looking at the scores, we had Scotland falling to France 15-5. We had England absolutely annihilating Wales 46-10. And we had Italy with a nice comeback win after a very harsh loss last week over Ireland, winning 27-21. Man, look, this was one of those games where I feel like it was as close a game as you could get. Ireland women are a really good team, but man, this Italy women, I've always said, Italy men might be on their rise, but Italy women have always had the size. They've been able to always bullet their ball around. And I don't think anybody who plays England is really a good indication of how good or bad that they are, because England is just a super team right now in Europe. Easily the best women's team in Europe. And looking forward, we're going to look into week three. And that's going to be looking at, we have Scotland going up against England. A nice little game that they're going to have with that one, because both of those teams are literally just at 1-3, respectively, on the final boards, the finals on the standings. 1-4, I'm sorry. We got Wales going up against Ireland. That should be a very tough game for Wales. After another big loss against England, Wales is 0-2. They're just hitting it. But again, they've also played two of the best in France and England back-to-back. So a tough one. And then France is going up against Italy, which I think is actually the game of the week for the Women's Six Nation. France is sitting at number 2 in the Women's Six Nation. Italy at number 3. This is going to be one where France is a team that is incredibly talented, a lot of speed off the edges, but Italy knows how to play ball. Barring random breaks of the leg that occur at odd times, this is going to be a real tough one for France to be able to get. I do think that Italy is actually going to give them a hard game, but I think France will probably take it out in the end. But I think this is going to be like a 1-2-point game at best. England will absolutely wipe Scotland, even though this is a rivalry game, even though this is a game that has a lot of history between them. It's not going to be good. I think it'll be close for the first half, but I think England's going to end up taking this one like 35-15 over Scotland, running away within the second half like they normally do. And then Ireland, Wales, again, another game that's going to be really, really close. It's a battle of the bottoms, but like Ireland, I think, is actually a really proficient team. Wales is actually really far more formidable than people give credit for. And I know Wales and their union are going through all this stuff and they're dealing with what's going on with the women's side, but I do think that this is a game that Wales is going to have an advantage on. Even though they're on the road, I think Wales women are going to be able to control the ball, control the forwards more. Man, look for Wales to win this one 14-10 over Ireland. All right, let's move on. We're going to look, let's look at USA Rugby as USA Women played their first match of the year going up against South Africa. This, I think, while it's a test match, it feels more like it was a friendly going up, getting ready for the Pacific Seven series. This one was one where, again, I looked at it from when I saw the WXB 2 tournament. While I think somebody pointed it out to me in the comments of the last video, South Africa technically came in third in WXB 2, and USA Women came in fifth. Watching how those games played, that was not a competition where USA was at a disadvantage to South Africa. And I think we saw it on this one. USA Women jumped out to a lead quickly, 21-0 by half, 26-5 in the second half. Like, it wasn't anything really too competitive. That being said, I will say that South Africa Women were a much better defensive team, and they have the size and the prowess to be able to do it, but they're still trying to get their offensive threats on, and I think they're a little bit they have a little bit of difficulty getting the ball to the outside and really breaking away. And I don't really think they have speeders, to be honest, on the outside. That being said, I also noticed that the USA Women don't really have speeders either. A lot of what they were able to do was cut things up down the middle and force that South Africa team to try and gang up on the forwards. Obviously, edge work by Kate Zachary that led to scores by Georgia Paris Redding and Catherine Treader. Like, they were able to get it, but a lot of it was up the middle or crash enough in the middle where they could take the forwards and run it off the edge and get it in for the try. So I do worry about the women whenever they're going to go up against Canada. But, you know, kind of looking at from this one, wanted to show what Coach Sione Fukafoka in his first game as a women's head coach talked about when it came to how the women performed in this match.
So key takeaways from this, what would stood out to you?
The biggest thing that stood out is courage and defense. I think, 20 plus phases there at one stage, and the girls kept turning up. So really, really impressed with their ability to keep getting back in the defensive line, keep turning up, keep making tackles. On top of that, our lineout was great, and the opportunities we created in attack show our potential. Just got to keep working harder and being a little more clinical, a little more ruthless when we're in best position.
Talked about platform going into this year. So how does this game set you up for qualification here?
Oh, massive. This game was a standard setup. So now we know what our base is and our foundation. As I said before, having that ability to be more clinical, more ruthless in those key areas are what we're going to need to be able to compete with those top four teams in the world and qualify for that.
Right. And let's follow it up with what Kate Zachary, captain for the team, had a great assist, said about this as well.
First win of the year. Tell me about the dynamics and defense of this game.
Yeah, it was an amazing game, obviously. First hit out of 2024 after a really long couple of days of training. I think as far as our attack goes, one of the most impressive things was how dynamic it was. In the past, we've been a physical team. We try to go through teams. But what you saw today was multiple opportunities going over the top with some kicks. We played around the edge, and then we also went direct through the middle. So hey, it's great to see how many players got involved, got touches on the ball, and scored some tries.
So what does this do for team chemistry and cohesion going into a qualification year in Pacific Four?
Yeah, Pac Four is going to be challenging, isn't it? And, you know, we've got some of the top three teams, top four teams that we're going to come up against, but also our first opportunity at World Cup qualification. So I think the momentum from this game is our new standard. We'd never want to play lower than what we showed today, but we do want to aspire higher. And so I think the momentum, the confidence, and the strength to take from here is going to fly us into Pac Four.
Great look, and I do agree. I think they did a good job in going over the edge. I don't think they were great. I think they did a good job in going over the top. A great kick that led to Emily Heinrich making a pass, catching the ball, and going in for the try. Really dope playing. But again, I think the lack of speed on the edges for the USA Women is going to be a liability as they get into Pacific Four play, and then ultimately trying to get qualification for the Rugby World Cup 2025. Though I think they'll have that one. They're going to go through RAN, so yeah, that's usually not the biggest deal for USA Women. But yeah, let me know what you guys thought on that one. USA Women defeated South Africa. I realize I didn't even say it. 38-17 off of that one. All right, man, let's go into MLR. All right, this week, you know, this was the week where a bunch of teams absolutely threw away their opportunities to get wins at the last second, man. A lot of second half wins where you saw culture provide over talent. Let's start it off. Miami Sharks fall to San Diego Legion 21-22. Miami Sharks had a huge lead in the first half. Absolutely threw it away in the second half. San Diego Legion led a hell of a comeback on that one. Chicago Hounds at home had the lead over Seattle Seawolves in the second of in the first half. Absolutely just doing damage. It looked like they were going to run away with this and really get a dominant win for the season. But no. Once again, culture supersedes talent. Chicago Hounds would lose to the Seattle Seawolves 34-26 in a game that really, really was given away. Like, Seattle was not playing well, and Chicago looked like they were swarming. But again, you know, you find yourselves in those positions where you're just not able to fully take advantage. So it happens. You had Old Glory struggle, really, against the Anthem. And I say struggle because, look, the Anthem are the worst team in MLR. They're the worst team in professional rugby. And they've been pretty much felt like they're the guarantee. They're a team that's on the warm-up. But they were able to score 32 on Old Glory. Old Glory was unable to break the 50 marker. The first team to play the Anthem and not break the 50 marker against them. Again, Old Glory did get the win, so it still counts. But a lot of questions I have about this Old Glory team that I thought was going to be better after their the win against the Free Jacks. But they've kind of just been slipping and slipping. And I don't know if they're as good as we initially thought. Still a lot of season, but I'm not confident in their trajectory. And then on the final one, the Texas Throwdown, the beat down in Cowtown. Ah, got it. I was about to lose it for a moment. Dallas Jackals hosted the Houston Sabercats, ended up losing a nail biter of a game. 27-30. Houston continues their winning streak for this season. I feel like they are strongly in the favor to win the West. The dark horse on this one, I think, is Seattle Seawolves and the New Orleans Gold. But Houston Sabercats are looking really, really good this year after several years of struggle for them. Man, they found their rhythm. They got the speed. They got the consistency. I think the culture is hitting up. We're seeing a lot to be able to go with it. All right, let's look forward to week 6 for MLR this upcoming weekend. We got Utah Warriors hosting the Anthem. It's going to be a destruction. Utah Warriors really know how to play at home. They have been in a bit of a struggle, but hey, man, that's how it goes sometimes. That's how it goes. They had last week off. Utah will take this one 50-20 against the Anthem. Seattle Seawolves are back at home. They'll be hosting the Dallas Jackals. Ironically, you know, while I say Seattle is consistently a good team at home, the freaking Sunfire Stadium is a black hole element for teams. I think that this Dallas Jackals team is a feisty, feisty, feisty team. And I honestly believe that if Seattle Seawolves continue to play in their soppy play, even though they're getting a lot of players back, I think the Dallas Jackals can sneak one underneath them and really actually take a win on this one. I actually look for Dallas Jackals to win this game. It's going to be a tight one, 22-20 Jackals over Seawolves. NOLA Gold are back after taking a break last week. They're taking on the Chicago Hound, and they're taking them on in the gold mine. I look for NOLA Gold to be able to take down Chicago Hound. I'm sorry. Chicago Hound are a team with talent, but they are not a team with a winning culture. NOLA Gold is soaring. They are rested. They got speed. They got power. I think they're finding their positioning with their fly half. And I think that it is going to be very difficult to stop this team. Look for the Gold to win this one at home. 35-26, Gold over Chicago Hounds. New England Free Jacks are back. They're going to be hosting the Miami Sharks. Sharks going up south. I'm sorry. Sharks are just a mess. They're a mess. Again, talented team. Plenty to pull from. Argentina light. They have literally everything that you need. They just do not have rhythm. And that's funny for a Latin American team. Yes, I must say it. They got rhythm. All right? And this New England Free Jacks team is still tough. I don't know if they are as good as they were last year, but they are still the defending champs. They still understand winning, and it is difficult to win at home. Again, that Old Glory win over the Free Jacks at home seems to be more of an anomaly than a rule. So look for New England Free Jacks to win this. I think it'll be a close one again in the first half, but look for the Free Jacks to win this one. 42 to 24 over the Miami Sharks. Run away with this in the second half. And lastly, we got Old Glory hosting the RFCLA, RFC at Los Angeles, as Los Angeles returns back. Old Glory is back at home. At least they have a win underneath their belt. Los Angeles, again, got their first win 2 weeks ago. I don't know if the travel is going to be good for Los Angeles. Again, this one is one of those situations where the travel plays. I think Old Glory will protect their home a lot better. Again, I don't know how good Old Glory is, but if they don't get this win, I think it's going to be a very, very difficult season for them moving forward. I look at this one being an 18-15 game. Though I feel like Los Angeles probably is going to be getting its rhythm. Winning in winning against Utah, even though it was at home, was a big one for them. And I think that sets a standard and lets them know the feeling again. But I think it's going to be tough to fly to D.C. And be able to get a win, even though they had the week off. And D.C. had a game before, so they're in rhythm still. So looking for that one. Like I said, 18-15, I think that game. Very low-scoring game. I don't expect much from it. All right, man, we're going to be looking at URC. All right, this one, again, another one where surprised by the outcomes on some of this. Leinster absolutely smashed the Bulls last week, 47-14. Dragons out-dueled Zebre, 20-13. Bennington with an upset over Connick at home, 18-14. Sharks completely protected their house against Edinburgh, 23-13. Ospreys protected their house against the Lions, 36-21. Stormers kept everybody at bay against Ulster, winning 13-7. Red Scarlets were unable to do anything at home against the Glasgow Warriors, losing 3-45. And Munster eked one out against Cardiff, 20-15 at home. Not much to say. The South African teams, I was expecting them to absolutely win on the road after having two really big road wins last week in Europe. But, you know, Leinster and the Bulls are 1-2. And I feel like Leinster absolutely dominates at home, but I don't feel like teams know how to play well when it comes to South Africa. So even though the Bulls lost this battle, I don't think they're going to lose the war. And I think as long as the Bulls have a chance to play at home, I think Leinster's going to be in trouble whenever it comes to the final. Again, even with Lions and Ospreys, I think if you watch that, it was a lazy game. Like the Bulls looked super lazy against Leinster, and the Lions just looked like they just weren't bringing the full strength against Ospreys. You know, that's always going to play in, but it is what it is. Looking forward to this week, we got Ulster taking on Cardiff at home. I think Ulster continues to be able to hold down the fort at home. Ulster over Cardiff Rugby, 17-10. I'm not going to go over each one of these because I'm not going to lie. These these games aren't particularly the most interesting ones. Glasgow Warriors are going to be at home against the Sharks. Sharks traveling up to Ireland. It's going to be a tough one. South Africans in Ireland. The Sharks 1-1 at home. I think they're going to be half-assing it. Glasgow's going to take the win on this one. Benetton takes on the Dragons. Benetton will beat the Dragons. And in consequential repercussion and protection for their brothers of Zebri. Lions are going to be at home versus Leinster. This is where I say again, while the Lions are not the greatest team in South Africa, I do think the Bulls are the best team in South Africa. I think the Lions know how to protect the house. Leinster are going to have a tough one back going down to South Africa. All their rhythm thrown off. Everything's out of control. Look for Leinster to lose this one against the Lions. Bulls are going to take on Munster at home. Bulls are going to win. Munster, great game. This is going to be one for the ages, but Bulls are going to win at home. They will protect this house. Ain't nobody going to be taking out a South Africa team in South Africa like that. Stormers defending their house against Ospreys this week. Oh, no. Well, you know what? I got these all wrong. Excuse me. I forgot that we had the European Championships. So negate all of what I just said about upcoming because there's no games happening until the 19th with the URC. I forgot to put up for the European Champions, but it's all good. Whatever. We're going to move on to South Super Rugby Pacifica because I'm going to get that one more correctly. Crusaders took over Chiefs 37-26. Waratahs lost to the Rebels 21-27. Fijian Drua over the Force 31-13. Moana Pacifica fall hard to the Blues 47-8. Highlanders lose to the Hurricanes, nothing surprising, 12-47. And the Reds lose to the Brumbies, 19-20. The really biggest one was just the Crusaders finally getting their first win after five straight losses, and especially to the Chiefs, who are top of the league. So they definitely were not about to lose to their cross-country rivals. But big shout-out to the Crusaders. Hopefully they get back on the track, but I mean, I also wouldn't be surprised if they continue losing. They just look like they wanted to play badly, very, very badly. This week, we got only four matchups. Blues will take on the Force. Blues will dominate the Force. Not even worth talking about. Rebels will be protecting their home against the Fijian Drua. I do feel like the Drua are on a streak, even though they work better at home. I think they're going to be hungry. I think they're going to be able to play against the Rebels well. I think they're going to take them out 26-24 against the Rebels. Moana Pacifica is up against the Chiefs. Chiefs are about to bat them up like they are a punching bag. Moana Pacifica is just going to get crushed like the Force. Not even worth talking about. And Brumbies versus Waratahs. Good game. This is actually probably one of the better games to watch. I do think the Brumbies are going to win, but this is going to be a tight one. I think it's going to come down to the last second, probably to either a penalty kick or a drop kick. Look for the Brumbies to win this one, 27-25 over the Waratahs. Going to switch over codes over to NRL because, you know, I said I'm constantly in the pit mix to be able to change my perceptions of NRL. Of course, unfortunately, we ain't able to have Jason on because he is preparing for Hong Kong Sevens that's happening this weekend. And so despite the fact that his Broncos finally got another win, 38-12 over the Cowboys, he is not going to be able to be on here to be able to gloat about it, which means that next week, whenever the Broncos inevitably lose, we're able to bring him on. I will continue to make fun of him because their inconsistency will make me laugh. Roosters lost to the Panthers 16-22. Panthers continuing to find their pacing bit by bit. Rabbitohs defeat the Bulldogs 20-16. Dragons over Sea Eagles 20-12. Manly Sea Eagles just not able to pick up their pace since Las Vegas. Got a couple wins, but could be a lot better. 2-2 for the season. Titans fall to the Dolphins 30-14. New Zealand Warriors over Knights 20-12. It looks like the Warriors are getting synchronization. Great plays, great kicking on that one, man. It was a tough one, and the Warriors lost a player early on in that game, but man, they were able to get themselves back into play. Sharks over Raiders 36-22, and Parramatta Eels lose to West Tigers 17-16. Which I definitely thought the Eels were going to be able to keep that one going. Great game by the West Tigers on that one. Moving forward, because I don't think there's too much to talk about last week. Moving forward for this week, you got the Broncos taking on the Storm. That one should be a really, really significant game because both of these teams really are trying to get a leg up on the other one. I see this one very, very tightly simply because of the fact that you got the Storm sitting at fifth in the league. Broncos, even though they're at 12th, are still a traditional powerhouse team. I look at the Storm to be able to get the win on this one because they're going to be at home, but Broncos are going to be playing this one hard. Bulldogs taking on the Roosters. Knights taking on the Dragons. These ones I don't know that much about. Unfortunately, I don't have my expertise with me. Rabbitohs will be taking on the Warriors at home. I do think the Warriors are going to win this one. Rabbitohs got a really necessary win last week over the Bulldogs, but I don't know if they're going to be able to repeat it. I think the Warriors are catching their pacing on that one. Sea Eagles going up against the Panthers. Mainly Sea Eagles need this one. Panthers need to protect themselves because even though they have one loss, they're second on the season. But, hey, man, you don't want to get losing streak happening. And you don't want to lose momentum as you're starting to gather it. That being said, I think the Panthers are going to end up winning this one over the Sea Eagles. Manly is just struggling. They're struggling. But they're at home, and it's tough to win at home from what Jason told us. But I think this one, Panthers, 27-20, Panthers over Sea Eagles. Dolphins go to West. Dolphins protect their house against West Tigers. Cowboys are going up against Titans, and Raiders are going to be going up against the Parramatta Eels. I think the Parramatta Eels are really going to be looking to get one back after losing last week. Raiders, tough team, but I think the Eels take this one 14-10 in a close game. All right, y'all. That's all the scores that we got for this week, man. Let me know what you guys think about it. Let me know where you guys are standing. What games are you looking forward to? In this, of course, we still got Premiership and Top 14, but I don't care about them, and I don't feel like talking about them, but we do talk about them on the Rugby Odds, on Rugby Wrap-Up, if you want to go check that out. We'll be right back. We're going to be taking a look at the collegiate rugby playoffs happening this week for D1A men. We're going to talk a little bit about those brackets. You guys stay tuned. This is Gifted Bailu with Rugby Swag, and we'll be right back after these commercials.
There's wheat flour that you can eat. My name is Gift Gift Time at Baylor. I'm here with Health Enhanced Foods. And I want to tell you about one of our best and most beloved products, our sweet white wheat baking mix. Now, this is the baking mix for those who are not really looking for something that's gluten-free, but they are looking for something that they can eat that is going to still be healthy and is not going to be dangerous. White flour is typically a very processed, incredibly bleached flour, and it's not good for you. It's incredibly cheap for a reason. Our sweet white wheat bread mix is whole grain, dairy-free, high in dietary fiber, free of additives, and is absolutely unprocessed and unrefined. With our sweet white wheat bread mix, you can feel like you're getting all the same rewards that you would get from poor white bread, but with all the nutritional value. You're able to still make your bread loaves or your cakes, your flat bread or your cookies, but you don't have to feel like you are going to be robbing yourself of good carbohydrates. You can get the sweet white wheat bread mix from healthenhancedfoods.com. Absolutely go impress your friends and family with the greatest bread while not making them feel like they have to be gluten-free at the same time. No dangers, full body pleasures. Go ahead and get yours today. Let's go.
All right, y'all, we are back. We got talking about the 2024 National Championship playoff bracket for the D1A college men's bracket, man. This is going to be a great one. Got a chance to see it. It's happening this weekend. And I love the fact that we got the bracket for this one ready to go because I think this is going to be an interesting match. So I'm not going to put any music for this one, but I'm going to break this down from east to west on who's going to be playing this week. So on the west side, all right, let's take a bit. West Philadelphia, born and raised. No, not really. But this weekend, we got on the west side, we got St. Mary's taking on Grand Canyon, all right? St. Mary's, number one seed, top of the league. Grand Canyon, number eight seed on this one. Cal is taking on Cal Poly. BYU is taking on UCLA. Central Washington is taking on Arizona. All right, so looking at this one, again, if you hadn't had that chance, you know, you can check it from the CRAA, College Rugby Association of America website. They have it with the listings, and it takes a little bit. I'm not going to lie, college rugby is very difficult to be able to follow. Shout out to Alex Goff for doing so much on being able to cover that from the men's side at least, and Jackie Finlan and Wendy Young on the women's side as well. But man, it is so tough, but I'm going to do the best that I can. This first game, St. Mary's versus Grand Canyon. This one is a really big one. Now, St. Mary's is a traditional powerhouse. They have been in the winning mix for ages. It's a small school, but they always seem to be locked up with talent. Grand Canyon, on the other hand, is a team that has been slowly finding its rise, finding its way into D1A. I don't know as much about Grand Canyon, but I know that they have always been in the mix. I think last year or 2 years ago, they made it to the Final Four or the Final Eight, something to be able to watch. That being said, man, this St. Mary's team has been absolutely annihilating teams, all right? Absolutely annihilating teams. Just spread scores against it in their Western, on the West Coast. I feel like St. Mary's is going to be able to dominate since they're going to be playing at home as well, too. Dominate this one. Look for St. Mary's to move on to the Elite Eight, I guess is what you would call, to defeat Grand Canyon on this one. Next up, we got Cal versus Cal Poly. Once again, Cal Poly is a team, small school, but they've been a team that has been in the mix. But again, this is a tough competition because Cal, for a moment, I thought Cal had kind of fallen off for a little bit. Like, you know, they just weren't what they were. I mean, I know like 2-3 years ago, or maybe last year, they won the 2023 national they won a few years ago. They were in competition, but no, because they didn't win, because Navy won last year and then Army the year before that. But again, you know, Cal puts out buku talent. Always is a conversation. Of course, they are a traditional powerhouse. But I thought they just had fallen off. You know, sometimes it happens to the best of them. Nah, man. Cal Poly. Cal absolutely has been destroying teams. And destroying some of the teams that are in this damn, competition in and of itself. So, looking into that alone, man, I got Cal moving on. To the Final Eight. Cal Poly losing this one, probably big as well. Man, I think I saw a 58-0 or 116-0 win that Cal had against a pretty solid team. I got to go back and look at their Instagram because it's the only way to do it. But, like, it's like, my God, Cal is running rickshaw on these mugs, all right? Next up, BYU taking on UCLA. Look, UCLA actually has been doing pretty well. I think they just narrowly got in to the playoffs. BYU, again, has been a traditional powerhouse team. But they're not as good as they were. They're kind of what I thought. They're kind of doing what I thought Cal was going to be like. But, I mean, that being said, they have a history of it. They've already beat UCLA once already and pretty significantly. And UCLA, again, is one of those teams that are they're above average, but they're not competitive enough to go against the best. So I look at BYU to be able to move on this one. I don't think it's going to be a very dominating game. I think BYU is going to struggle a little bit, but they're at home. UCLA going to go over to Utah. And I think BYU wins this one, moves on. And then lastly, you got Central Washington versus Arizona. Again, Central Washington, another powerhouse team, another team that's got scholarships or has had scholarships. Arizona, again, a team that is above average, but is not good enough to be in the elite levels. Central Washington have Central Washington over Arizona. Not much to really delve into that one. All right. So I'm going to continue it on just so that you still know what my full bracket is. St. Mary's versus Cal in the Elite Eight in BYU versus Central Washington. I think Cal absolutely dominates St. Mary's. A lot of people don't realize St. Mary's doesn't have scholarship, and it's a very small school. Cal, while they also have scholarship, but again, they've been dominating. They already beat St. Mary's. I think they're going to continue on. Usually college rugby is pretty bloody predictable. And look for Cal to move on to that one. I got BYU going up against Central Washington. Like I said before, I don't think BYU is as good as they have been in the past. I think that they are still a decent school. They are probably the worst of the best elite schools, but I think Central Washington outdoes them. And again, I think Central Washington might already have a win against BYU in this one. No, they don't have one, but I think they've had games that are similar, and I think Central Washington is just a better team. And then I got Cal going into the national championships over Central Washington. I think Cal is just the best team in the West. I don't know how they got fourth, but I think Cal is the best team in the West. All right, moving on, we're going to take a look at the East side. All right, East side. Yo, we got Navy at number one seed taking on Mary Washington. We got Arkansas State taking on Davenport, Lindenwood versus Mount St. Mary's, and Life taking on Army. All right, let's kick this off. Right off, Navy versus Mary Washington. Navy is just an incredibly formidable team. I believe that they won last year in revenge for losing to in revenge for Army winning 2 years ago. So, I think we're going to see that consistency go on. I think Navy absolutely dominates in this one. Mary Washington is a good team. It's tough. Yo, it's really, really tough to be able to pull it off. Like, it is legitimately difficulty to be able to get that one the way that you really want it to do. I'm just trying to make sure I can confirm the championships last year. And it was, yes, I do declare that Navy was the one who won in 2023. Okay, so yes, do believe we had Navy winning over, oh my goodness, who was it? If somebody in the comments can let me know, I definitely appreciate it. Was it Navy over Army? No, but anyways, Navy is a dominant team in this one. Look for Navy to be able to move on against Mary Washington to move over to the final eight. Arkansas State against Davenport. Now, this is one that was a longtime rivalry back whenever they were both in the Mid-South. Arkansas State, I feel, was a more powerful team at the time. Davenport was kind of a punching bag, in my opinion, at their time. No offense if anybody went to Davenport. This is one of those games that's kind of reflection of that era. I do think Arkansas State defeats Davenport. I think they already played even once this year, and I think Davenport lost. I have Arkansas State moving on to take on Navy into Sweet Eight, in the final Elite Eight. Got Lindenwood going about Mount St. Mary. Now, Mount St. Mary is a team that has been absolutely doing damage. They have a great schedule. They have been playing really strong teams. They've been winning a lot of games in a very, very dominating factor. And by all intents and purposes, I actually think that they have a better setup to win than they Lindenwood does. That being said, I think Lindenwood wins on experience. Man, that is a team that knows how to play in the playoffs. They absolutely know how to play in the playoffs. And found it, they beat Cal. That's what it was. Navy beat Cal last year. Anyway, they know how to play in the playoffs. And I think Lindenwood knows how to turn up the season. I haven't been impressed with Lindenwood's regular season games. But again, it's also very difficult in that region. You play who you can. Obviously, they're not playing, you know, scrubs, but, you know, they could be better. But I do think Lindenwood moves on solely on experience. But this Mount St. Mary's team is definitely going to be a test for this Lindenwood team. And last, you got Life going up against Army. Army is just not as good this year as they have been in the last couple of years. Again, 2 years ago, they won the championship. This year, I think this is going to be their struggle entrance point. I think Life has been dominating. Life is already a historically powerful team in college men's rugby, but I think that they actually have a rise. They've been kind of slipping a little bit last year. By slipping, I mean just not as good, but still dominate, more dominant than literally 99.95% of teams. But I think Life wins this one and moves on to take on Lindenwood. All right, I'm going to break down the rest of it. I think I got Life versus Lindenwood in the Elite Eight. I think Life wins. Culture, man. It's culture. Life just seems to have the mental over fortitude against Lindenwood. And I think Life moves on. Arkansas State versus Navy. I think Navy is going to be coming to defeat, to protect their championship run and go for a back-to-back. Absolutely dominating Arkansas State. I think Navy is just significantly more powerful. Navy goes on to the semifinals against Life University. Once again, Life versus Navy. I think this is going to be an amazing game if it happens. Should be a championship game, but I think Life overtakes Navy in this one in a close game. Navy unable to repeat as champions goes on. Life will go on to take on Cal, but I look for this one. I think Life ends up winning the national championship this year, getting another one under their belt, absolutely dominating in college rugby, and showing that they are still the team and the program to take it all, because the women are absolutely killing it as well, too. So let me know what you guys think about this. Like, where do you guys feel like this is going to go? Where do you feel like the championships are? And for any other bracketology, yo, hit me up. Let me know. We'll talk about it for the next time. But I think this one is one that is going to be a good bracket. I think this will be a good one, and I'm excited to see what happens this week. All right, we got ad. We're going to be right back after these messages. Yo, we're going to talk a little bit of a theoretical possibility. What would happen if men's and women's rugby had to be ranked together at the international level? A question that was put up on X, and I think is one that we can discuss. We'll be right back. Obviously, it's gift time, a Bailu with rugby swag, and just stay tuned.
Buckwheat is changing lives. My name is Gift a Bailu. I'm here with Health Enhanced Foods, and I want to tell you about one of my favorite products on our shelves, Buckwheat Baking Mix. Buckwheat is a seed that is incredibly nutrient and protein dense. But what makes it even more important,
that buckwheat baking mix
is absolutely gluten-free. A lot of times whenever people have buckwheat mixes, they actually even hold wheat inside of it. So you know it's not fully gluten. And if you're a person that is celiac or diabetic, or you're just really trying to be health conscious, it's not something that you want to have to worry about. What makes our buckwheat baking mix even more important is that it is versatile. You can use it for pancakes. You can use it for waffles. You can use it for making loaves of bread. You can make it for cupcakes. But what helps even more is that it is allergen-free. It is nut-free. It is dairy-free. That there is no additional additives in it. There's no leavening there, so that if you want to be able to raise your bread, you can put in the baking powder yourself and get it fluffy. If you don't, you absolutely do not have to. You get the bread that you love without the cost to your health. You can absolutely find buckwheat baking mix at healthenhancedfoods.com. Absolutely check it out. Get your nostalgia back. Get back to eating and loving the way that you are, and absolutely get back to the energy that you know that you can get without having to destroy yourself. I'm looking forward to seeing you get it. Let's go.
All right, y'all. Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay, so we're talking about what would happen if you put the rankings for the men's and women's rugby in the same ranking system. So this was a question that was actually broached by the platform Ireland. What was it called? Irish Women's Rugby Supporters Club. All right. And they basically presented this idea, you know, just imagine if world rankings and therefore World Cup seeding was calculated as a combination of women's and men's rankings. Unions would suddenly care. Cultures of misogyny would be actively opposed. The women would be adequately resourced and treated with respect, if only. And I thought it was kind of an interesting concept to be able to go off of, because I think there's two parts to this. Number one, is it the possibility that unions would properly fund both programs? I don't know if that would necessarily be true, even with the world rankings, because, again, the world rankings don't necessarily bequeath more revenue in any way, shape, or form. Even their addition, yes, you might have an access to Rugby World Cup in terms of automatic bidding, but that usually goes to just the top four teams, top two, top three teams, or more or less. So the majority of teams aren't necessarily going to be positively affected by a higher world ranking. But on the other side of it, though, I do think that there is an interest in being able to say what would be the most proficient rugby program. And why would that be important as a rugby program as opposed to just the individual rugby teams? Because it would mean that there is a system that's being created, and we'd be basically ranking the best systems to follow in world rugby. And I think that's something that the world really does need to know and understand. And if you have better balance between your women's and your men's team, well, of course, that's something that you send coaches to. That's something that you can send to your sponsors, in an essence, where it's like our reach can go because we have a system that is developed to magnify both sides of our audiences. It magnifies our participation, and it allows us to show that we can create the best athletes, and hence something to be able to generate revenue, but more importantly, generate interest for the players. Like, I know if you're a high school student or you're a college student trying to get to a test match, yeah, there's the advantage of playing for your national team, but you also now know the standard of being like, yo, I'm going into one of the best programs in the world. And I don't always think that the best programs necessarily are going to have the number one and number two team. I mean, they will. They'll have the number one and number two teams. But more importantly, though, you'll see the best development. And I think that adds a different incentive for these programs. And I think that one would be what could adjust the misogyny, though, but not because the union would care about the seedings in terms of what it would do for the World Cup, but solely because of the fact that you could generate a different kind of interest off of that and build more tools off of that perception. So that being said, Irish Women's Rugby Club Supporters Club put together their initial top 10 ranking of who they think would be in this world rankings, all right? So they went number one. They had England. And they put a point system onto it. They had at 181.93 points. I do think that they did a little bit of combination jigamaju with it. But, you know, it's whatever. Do what you got to do. Do you. All right. They had England at number one. They had New Zealand at number two. They had France at number three. They had Ireland at number four. Australia sitting ranked at number five. South Africa at number six. Scotland at number seven. Italy at eight. Wales at nine. And a bit of a shocker for this one, Canada at 10. So I'm looking at this one, and I got it. I kind of feel what they're saying on it, but I don't agree with this ranking, especially if you're taking the combination of world rankings. And I'm looking at it again. You're looking at a union. So it's not just, are we looking at a 15s? Are we looking at sevens? I'm taking as a program, as a whole. What is your ranking as a union? And I think it slightly shifts. And you know, because I like to do a little bit extra for you guys, you know, I didn't say, let me stop at 10. I said, let me do my top 25 on this one. All right. Let me know what you guys think. I want to know what your feelings are with this one. But let's see where it goes. All right. At number one for me, New Zealand. Yes, New Zealand men are technically a little bit behind, falling behind in terms of 15s rankings, and are kind of iffy when it comes to sevens. But, I mean, let's be honest, man. The women are absolutely killing it. Killing it at 15s, killing it at sevens. Men are just absolutely just came in second in the Rugby World Cup in 15s. And they're always in play and dominant in sevens. Number one, easy top. I don't think it's even a close one. All right. Number two is where it gets even deviates for me. I actually have France as number two. Why? Because I think that their program in totality is significantly better than any other program in Europe. Even England, despite the fact that England has professional rugby for women on the premiership side, I think the women from France actually are far more talented, and the men are more talented than the English men, even though, no, England lost to the men lost in Six Nations. Add to that, I think France sevens is significantly better than any other in terms of the total program, than any other program in Europe. The women consistently are in the top three, top four, and the men are finding their way back in sevens. Not as great, but obviously they already got one win in the series, and I think they've been doing it. If they got DuPont on their side, I think they got something to go with. So I have France at number two. Number three, I got England. England men, obviously formidable in sevens, even though they're getting combined in with Great Britain. I still think they, whenever you see them in the Olympics, they really show out the most that they do. From women's side, dominant across the board. Just dominant across the board. Like, England women are the best team overall in rugby, but they're not the most talented. Obviously, like I said, I think France is a more talented team overall, but when it comes to England 15s, top. Comes to England 7s, Great Britain, obviously, I think it's a little bit iffier in that one. And even with whenever it's them, Red Rose by themselves, I think they're iffy. I think France is typically better, but England is a close number three. Like, France and England, I think you can interchange between the two of them if you wanted to, if you wanted to make the argument, but I think they really shift between that. Number four on this one, I actually have Scotland as the fourth best program in the world. We know Scottish men, and I know a lot of people are going to be like, yo, you should have put Ireland up there because Ireland is absolutely killing it. Absolutely killing it. Yes. Yes. But we'll talk about Ireland later. With Scotland, I think they have the most balance between them. I think Scotland women are absolutely dominating team. Yes, I know that they are currently, what are they ranked in the Six Nations? I think they're number four. Yeah, they're fourth in Six Nations. Tough team. Hard nose, pop people in the mouth kind of team for the women's side. With the men's side, we know this one. Scottish men are clearly a mid-tier team, but they seem to always be within the mix. They just, their culture just doesn't seem to get them over the top very well. Number two, I think their sevens is actually formidable. I might actually be changing this one. I might actually move Scotland down a little bit now that I'm thinking about it, because I had them because the men's 15s has been really good, and they're always a good upset away. And I think that they have the most balance between it. No, I'm gonna stick with it. I think they have the most balance between the men and the women. The Scottish women's sevens isn't really that fantastic, but I think the 15s just does enough to be able to pull up the ranking off of what's weaker for the men's side. All right, number five, I got Italy. All right, I know, not Ireland yet. What the F, man? What the F? I know, but I look at Italy and I look at them from, I mean, U20s doesn't count, but they are feeding in more players coming in. The men's side obviously have been the worst of the best, but this Six Nations, I think they elevated themselves up. Number two, I think Italy sevens is, it's actually not that great. Italy sevens isn't actually that great. Might actually have them a little bit too high. You know what? I'm switching. This is where I make the switch. Ireland over Italy in this one. Ireland over Italy. I see the errors of my way in that one. So I'm gonna have Ireland up where Italy is, and I'm moving Italy down to where Ireland is. So I have Ireland at number five. All right, the change. Ireland at number five, and that's because, look, we know Irishmen 15s and sevens, absolutely killing it. Right? They found their way. Obviously, they're not as good as their Southern Hemisphere brethren, but they are absolutely annihilating it where they need to be. Irish women, the 15s lacking, sevens increasing. They already won a series. They have culture, they have talent, they know what they're doing with it, and they have a good throughway. I think that especially considering the limitations that Ireland has in terms of resources, and not financially, but like just from a people standpoint, like you got limited resources. They play above themselves. So I'm gonna move Ireland up to number five, which then puts Australia staying at number six for me, which I think Australia sits at number six because while Australia rugby union men are a rugby union is completely collapsing within itself, they are still always a team, especially at 15s, that is going to beat some ass when it's necessary. Yes, the time with Eddie Jones this past year wasn't the greatest, but that Australia team, especially with a talent drain, still seems to be within the mix. Australia sevens, their men always keep coming back up, and they, you know, they find their way through. But the big kicker on this one is the Australian women's side. Australian women's side is pulling up that whole ranking. They are dominating. I think they very arguably will probably win the Olympics this year. And then with the Rugby World Cup 2025, I mean, yo, they have as much a chance to disrupt the New Zealand-England domination of the last two Rugby World Cups. So I think Australia women have really taken the reins on this one over the men. But we don't sleep on the men. Then obviously after that, I got Italy. Don't worry about the graphic. Italy, again, Italy men are rising up. Italy sevens is improving. Italy women actually do damage. Like the 15 side are really, really strong set. Italy sevens, you know, questionable. But I think that they are always in the mix. They are a tough team in sevens. They are a tough team in sevens, regardless of whatever you want to feel with it. I think even currently now in HSBC sevens, Italy is ranked. Hold on, let's take a look real quick. Italy's not in it for this one. Okay, yeah, so never mind. Anyways, I still got them on that one. Shout out my guy, Ryan Kirby. Yo, appreciate it. Ryan Kirby said, gift, I love you, bro. Ready for some Hong Kong sevens? Yes, I am, Ryan. Love you too, bro. Hey, guys, check him out on X. Man is one of the most passionate rugby fans absolutely out there. Definitely worth taking a look. And if you can get him on to the X DM list, man, well worth it, man. Well worth it. Thank you so much, Ryan. All right, let's continue on. I got South Africa at number 8. Now, we all know South Africa men 15s the top. They are literally the top of the top. Ain't no questions about it. They are the current 2-time Rugby World Cup back-to-back champions. They are the best of the best of the best, sir. South Africa sevens men, not so much. Used to be one of the most dominant teams in there. But considering the fact that they lost to Kenya in the Olympic qualifiers, they are possibly not even going to make it to the Olympics. In sevens, they are basically just scraping by. They're sitting ranked at 7th. I don't think it's that great in that aspect. So it brings them down. The other half of it is South Africa women. Now, this is a club that is improving. And this is why I kind of have them still high. Yes, we actually just talked about the fact that they played USA women. They actually lost. But that is a team that is very hard-nosed. And if you've seen where they came from, started from, this is really back 2019 and getting into it, the ascent has been really impressive. Really, really impressive. And I think South Africa women, probably over the course of the next 3 years, will be in a position that Fiji is actually in with their women's side, where they are dominating at the sevens and the 15s level and finding their legs more and more and more. But I can't take away the fact that still, they're still not quite there. So I still have them ranked a little bit lower. But definitely we see rugby men's 15s for South Africa absolutely doing the damage. Ain't no doubt about it. But the combination, I got them at 8th. All right. And number 9, I got Fiji. Before the hand, Fiji men's sevens was really the one that was just absolutely killing it. We 2-time Olympic champions, looking to defend it again this year. I think they got competition, but looking to defend it again this year. And in terms of 15s, they typically were just slacking. Like, they just weren't able to get themselves because they weren't able to put together teams, and most of their guys would have to dispatch to other teams across Europe and Argentina and Australia and New Zealand. But since the development of the Fijian Drua, men's 15 has increased. We saw them this year in the Rugby World Cup, came into the semifinals, were just unable to get over the top, but they were doing their damage, something a team to watch. On the other side of it, the women's side. And that is one that I think people are underestimating. That is one of the toughest teams in sevens, and they have one of the toughest teams in 15s. They are, again, a team that really started kicking off somewhere around 2018, really 2014, and they were not good in 2014, 2015. But somewhere around 2018, 2019, around COVID, they started finding their legs. And then we saw it in 2021 for the Rugby World Cup. They came and they brought it. They absolutely brought it. And in fit sevens, the same thing. They absolutely are bringing it. And I think that is a team that has just continued to be in the ascent. If both Fiji won the women's and the men's side in the Olympics this year, I wouldn't be surprised. A little surprised, because I don't think Fiji men are as good as they have been in the past. But that women's team, they're dominant. They're strong up the front at the forwards. They are fast off the edges. And that's both for 15s and 7s. At number 10, I got Argentina. What? Argentina? Why Argentina? They're not even in sevens. No, man. Argentina men, obviously 15s. They're consistent powerhouse. The best of the what would be a tier 2 region, but they are obviously a tier 1 nation that supports tier 2. Shout out to them. But I think their program, their system is absolutely magnificent. The men's side are able to dominate, and then in sevens, the men's side are absolutely doing real significant damage for them, and they are inarguably a dark horse to be able to win the Olympics this summer. Winter for us in Brazil, summer for up in North America. The women's side obviously is a little bit more questionable. I think Brazil has a lockdown on women's rugby in the region. But it is a developing program. And I feel like, once again, you know, even though with South Africa, I brought down the men because of the women and their sevens. The women obviously are the slack for Argentina in this one, but they're building. And considering that they are still relatively new, I think that they're doing a good job. And I think that that system is already starting to see their payoff bit by bit by bit. I think they're in the championship. I always want to say the Commonwealth, but the bracket that's after the bracket that's my goodness, I hate it when I keep forgetting this. Hold on, I'm looking it up right now because it's gonna pop up, and I know where to pop it up from. The Challenger Series. They're doing their thing in the Challenger Series. So with the women for Argentina, I think they're ascending. Still got a long way to go, but they are improving bit by bit by bit. And then now let's get to, yeah, in Argentina, women in the seventh season, they're 3-0 so far. Like they're absolutely killing it. They're killing it. All right, next up we got Wales on this one. I think Wales is on a downslide. Wales women have not been that great when it comes to 15s. When it comes to sevens, they get lopped in with Great Britain, typically. Jasmine Joy, shout out to her. On the Wales men's side, obviously, they've been traditional powerhouses, but the program's falling apart. And on the seven side, just not dominant. But they still can perform right now, but they're on a downslide trajectory. Number 12, I got Japan as it. Japan men, we've seen what they've done. 15 side, they are in a similar position like I feel like Italy is. They are the worst of the best, but they are always able to be either an upset team or able to find a way to finesse their way into being part of the mix. And they're legitimate threats. Legitimate threats. I think for the 15 to the 7 side, legitimate threats. And then from the women's side, while they are not always that good, they are the best in Asia. They are legitimately the best in Asia, and it's by a distance. Like, I think the women have lost to Korea every once in a while, men, but, like, it's been, like, once. Like, when it comes to Japan versus China, Japan has had the upper hand more times than not. And I think that Japan development program, significantly better. Okay, I'm going to rush through 13 through 25 just because I want to cut down a little bit of the time that we have and not keep us too long. Number 13, I got Canada. Canada women are holding up Canada by way more. Olympics, Rugby World Cup finalists. The men are slipping heavily. Number 14, USA finally makes it. Again, the women are doing a good job in holding us up. Men's sevens are always in the mix, a great power program. 15s needs a significant amount of work. Sevens, obviously, we're not winning when we need to win, so it also drops us. And then the women, same thing, but they are far more in the mix, far more in competition. Though the women's 15s, we'll see how they improve because the last couple of years they have just not been very good. Portugal, again, one that is a surprise, but not really. The men's, women's, the men and women have been increasing both in 15s and 7s. We saw Portugal in the Rugby World Cup for men's. And in 7s, they've been surprise teams and been in the mix. Again, not a team to play with for either one of them. Number 16, I got Spain. Similar situation with Portugal, but I think they're just behind Portugal. Spain's been better in women's and 7s, but... and been better historically in 15s, but I think Portugal is doing better in their 15s. They got better forwards and definitely better backs. And obviously for men's, that's in the men's side, and for sevens, I think Portugal is increasing, and Spain is very up and down. I don't think they're very consistent. Number 17, I got Kenya. Kenya men's sevens has been increasing. I think we all know there are, again, like Italy, like Wales, like Italy, like Japan, best of the worst of the best in sevens. 15s, they're actually improving more. Still not great, but they're improving more during the Africa, not the Africa games, but Rugby Afrique. They were right within the mix for it. I think they're very significant in terms of that. And from the women's side, the women's dominate Africa in 15s and 7s at this point. They are the ones to upset. Obviously, 7s, they came in, I think, second or third in the Africa games. But they are always typically the ones to dominate because, you know, Kenya is actually going to the Olympics on this one. So call it what it is. Women, they're going. So they're doing what they need to do on that one. Number 18, one that you don't really see very much. But if you watch them in their Challenger series, watch them in their home arenas, Germany. Germany is a team that is improving significantly. Now, they haven't been able to win when it matters, and typically they would have like Hong Kong sevens to do it, but they're going to do it during the Challenger series for sevens. And 15s, again, in the mix, but they're like still behind like a Portugal, a Georgia in terms of men. And then women's, again, always in the mix, but they just have not been able to get over the top. And I feel like this next part of the list is really a lot of teams that are in the mix but unable to get over the top with it. But Germany is actually a pretty proficient team on both sides. Just not elite. They're like good above average teams, but they're not. They're average whenever they play against top competition. Top tier two, bottom tier ones, they don't compete well. Number 19, Samoa. All right, Samoa men, again, we know them like historically great at rugby, but the men just do not seem to win when it matters most. They don't win when they matter most. Again, the programs are good. They have the talent, but obviously they get the talent drain because everybody goes and pickpockets that area, but particularly New Zealand and Australia and France. I don't think that their program has grown very well. And from the women's side, hard team, tough team, definitely one that you can't scuff your nose against, but they just haven't been able to take it over. I think that they're ones that are they just need more finance, and it's very difficult. They haven't done anything to be able to get more attention. And they're not getting the same amount of assistance that like a Fiji is. And it just it sucks for them. But top 20 still. At number 20, I have Uganda. I've talked about them so significantly. Uganda men and Uganda women legitimately know how to dominate in sevens, and they are improving significantly in 15s. Now, mind you, they are the best after Kenya and South Africa in rugby, in sevens preeminently, but they are dominating. They are actually very, very dominant. Now, I want them to improve better in the Challenger series. And of course, within their 15s, it's very difficult for them to get to the Rugby World Cup because they basically have to go through Namibia. But I feel Namibia is trending very much downwards while Uganda is trending very much upwards, which is why I have them at number 20. Definitely black and orange is something to look for. Number 21, I got Belgium. Belgium, very similar to Germany. Team that is on the rise. Team that has a lot, but they just aren't able to perform when they go against the elites. But within their little element, absolutely kill it for both men and the women. Number 22, I got Madagascar. As sitting there, again, a team that is rising. They just will never have the finances to really get over the top. But their men and women's team, both 15s and 7s, really specifically for 7s, really does a good job in pulling them up. Number 23, I got Tunisia. If you watch them, man, they get so much pull from their men playing in France and then pulling into it. It plays so heavily for them. So heavily for them. Oh, my goodness. And that's the same with the women's. They're increasing during the Africa games. They weren't great, but improving, and you can see it. And then number 24 and 25, I got Brazil and Jamaica. Brazil women are absolutely killing it in South America. Brazil women are making a mark in sevens in on the HSBC tour, but they're still needing to get it over the top. Brazil men, man, they, again, nothing to sniff at. They'll get a win from time to time, but they just don't. they still need work, still need to be able to get some culture. And I can see it here. You still need to increase it, but they're getting around there. They're getting around there. And then in sevens, it's really basically the same. And then lastly, I got Jamaica. Because that is a program that is pretty even. They run Caribbean. They are very involved. They've always been able to show out in things like Challenger or Hong Kong Sevens. Their 15s does well within RAN. I think as a total program, they're able to really show their stuff. So that is what I got. 25. Let me know what you think. And I'm going to go back again. It's number one, New Zealand. Number two, France. Number three, England. Number four, Scotland. Number five, Ireland. No, yes. Number five, Ireland. Number six, Australia. Number seven, Italy. Number eight, South Africa. Number nine, Fiji. Number 10, Argentina. 11, Wales. 12, Japan. 13, Canada. 14, USA. 15, Portugal. 16, Spain. 17, Kenya. 18, Germany. 19, Samoa. 20, Uganda. 21, Belgium. 22, Madagascar. 23, Tunisia. 24, Brazil. And 25, Jamaica. Some people are going to ask me, why not put Georgia? Georgia doesn't have a women's team. They don't do anything with women. Can't throw them in there. What about Russia? I ain't seen Russia play in forever. I don't know what's going on with them. Technically, they should be high ranked, but when's the last time we saw them really like play before in the past? And you go. So let me know what your thoughts are in the comments. Let me know where you guys are feeling when it comes to that. We'll be right back. We're going to conclude this one after this commercial break. I hope you guys enjoy, and we will be right back.
Don't you love a great ketogenic family? My name is Gifte Belu. I'm here with Health Enhanced Food. I wanted to talk to you about one of our top baking mixes, and that is our ketogenic baking mixes. We got a ketogenic seed baking mix, our ketogenic almond baking mix, and of course, our ketogenic coconut baking mix. Now, what is so important about it being ketogenic? Now, for those who don't know, ketogenic means that it is utilizing low carbs to be able to eat from. The point of it is so that your body will naturally activate burning from your fat and be able to sustain off your proteins rather than feeding your body carbohydrates and your body simply burning that and you just don't lose weight. And so whenever you're doing that process, it's incredibly difficult. And of course, you're always going to have a craving for wanting to eat the breads and the carbs that you typically would have. With our keto baking mixes, you can have the pancakes, the waffles, the cookies, the cakes, the pizza crust that you absolutely desire without sacrificing the work, your diet, and obviously the results that you are trying to get. All our ketogenic baking mixes are gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, and absolutely loaded with natural vitamins and minerals. We want to make sure that they are low net carb, they have no added sugar, they are protein-rich, they have good healthy fats, but even more importantly, they have a low glycemic level. So for those who are diabetic and you're also still trying to find something, we have the baking mixes that are for you. And I'm sure you're wondering, why make three versions of them if they all are basically doing the same thing? Well, we wanted to make sure, as always, that we are trying to specialize to your dietary need. So with our ketogenic coconut, we wanted to give you a version that allows you to have a sweeter bread without sacrificing your diet, but it provides you things that you can make with your cakes, you can make your cookies, but you can be able to not have to lose your mind trying to find things that can satiate the taste without ruining your diet. With our ketogenic almond baking mix, that is one that has probably the highest protein content. It allows you to be able to control your blood sugar levels, reduce your blood pressure, lower cholesterol levels, and of course, goes to promoting weight loss and being able to control the hunger. And for a ketogenic seed, this is for those who have a nut allergy and they can't take anything like the almonds. So we want to give them still the same thing. You can still make your bread. You can still make your pizza crust. You can still make your cakes and your buns and your muffins. But you don't have to worry about having an allergic reaction. You definitely can go check out the ketogenic line of products at healthenhancedfoods.com. Go ahead, keep up with your diet, get the foods that are necessary to keep you going, and let's get the results that you absolutely deserve. Let's go.
All right, y'all. Man, I want to thank you guys so much for being able to just be on the show and for paying attention. Yo, just a reminder, we got HSBC Sevens, Hong Kong Sevens happening this weekend. I didn't get to it. Unfortunately, I just didn't feel like I was going to have enough time and to be able to break it down. I really wanted to go through the other ones. You can argue it or not. It's whatever. But it's going to be a good one. And of course, you know, as I always like to say, definitely check out some of our other episodes that we have popping up. I said earlier in the episode, we're not going to be back for next week. I'm going to be on the road, so unfortunately not going to be able to be in front of the mic at that moment. But if you guys can, check out some of our other past interviews. Our last one was with John Fitzpatrick of the Rugby Morning. We've had Wendy Young of YSC. We had Dr. Rosalind Chow, we've had Lance Kavanaugh of Great American Rugby. We've had Nia Tapper, Chetta Emba, Roots Rugby with the Grambies. We've had Blaine Scully. We have had a slew of people from HBCU to international, to actors, to world rugby executives, really just trying to be able to get the stories and more to come as we continue to prepare and build for much more of an archive to be able to continue to let you guys know and be able to grow with the sport as is. I want to thank you guys so much, and I hope that you guys know that I hope that you guys have a great day, but more importantly, I hope that you know that I hope that you're happy, I hope that you're healthy, and of course, I hope that you are knowing that you truly are highly favored. Until next time, y'all. Cheers.